Good evening. Welcome to The Buck Stops Here. I'm Vishnu Shah. On the program this evening, as both the BJP, led by the Defence Minister today, and the Congress take pot shots at each other on who should take credit for the surgical strikes on terrorist camps in Pakistan, we ask a larger question, and it involves an institution that Indians trust more than perhaps any other, the Indian Army. And the question is this: the politics over the surgical strikes, how low will the discourse on an army operation against terrorists get? Now, we've decided and have prominently been stating this for days that national security cannot be compromised by politics or politicians. And so we will not be having politicians on the show, not at all. Instead, we'll be talking with panelists and two ex-army officers, one of them a former army chief, both men who define the word credibility. It's a word attached more with our army and less with our politics and politicians. Big focus today, the politics over the surgical strikes. It's an army operation, credit being taken by politicians, but ironically, none of the politicians, neither in the government or the opposition, say that they're doing that. But that's exactly what they're doing. Take a look.
मैं इतना कहना चाहता हूं, अगर कुछ गलती होती तो उसका पूरा जो कुछ आना था वो इसी सरकार के सर पे आता था. So those who would have suffered losses, I think they are the one who should also reap profit out of certain decisions, not out of the strike, but guts to take decision. The satisfaction of 30 years of boiling within and the steam that had accumulated was vented off on 29th October when Indian Army, keeping in its tradition, it has a long tradition. It is a tradition of valor, it has tradition of bravery, it has tradition of moral values.
All right, well, you heard a couple of remarks made there by Manohar Parrikar, and we'll try and play out what Randeep Surjewala of the Congress Party also had to say. So we need to bring that up as well in the course of this discussion. In fact, if we can, let's just listen to what Randeep Surjewala had to say. We'll bring that up in just a moment from now. But let's reflect on some of those remarks which have been made by our panelists this evening. General J.J. Singh, the former Army Chief, joins us. Lieutenant General Shankar Prasad, the former Director General of Infantry of the Indian Army, with us. Sabah Naqvi and Ashok Malik, both senior columnists and journalists, with us as well. And as I mentioned, no politicians, because we believe that this particular debate does not need to be dealt with by politicians. But before that, it's important to balance out those sound bites of the Defence Minister by what the Congress Party had to say today.
Does he mean to say that those who fought, those of our armed forces who fought the war of 1947, 1962, 1965, 1971, 1999, as also made supreme sacrifice, including sacrifice of their lives, onus lies at the doorstep of Prime Minister Shri Narendra Modi to come forward to tame his belligerent defense minister, as also the national BJP president, and apologize unconditionally to the armed forces on their behalf, and publicly vow to never take or make political capital out of the sacrifice of armed forces.
But the question is this: who is making or who is gaining politically from this? Where is this talk of political capital coming? Is it coming from that young soldier or those young soldiers who went across the line of control? Is it coming from the leadership of the army? Is it coming from retired army officers? Where is it coming from? The words political capital. It's coming from politicians who say that they are not seeking political capital out of the action of the Indian Army, but that is exactly what they are doing. And you heard earlier on the Defence Minister, and here you've heard the chief spokesperson of the Congress Party. They are both saying the same thing. Do we, as a country, leave important issues on national security at politicians scoring political brownie points. That's something that concerns us very deeply at NDTV, and that is why, as I've repeatedly been mentioning, we don't have any politicians on this show. But let me go across first to General J.J. Singh, the former army chief. General Singh, if there is a young commando who participated in the surgical strikes actually watching this broadcast, and he sees two political leaders, one from the government and one from the last government, taking pot shots at each other over credit being claimed, what goes into the mind then of that young commando, that young officer or jawan?
Vishnu Som, good evening. I'm glad that you raised this question. I must tell you, we in our country have an unblemished record, but for a little period in between, of very solid democratic traditions and the rule of the Constitution. Now, who bears the responsibility for the security of our nation? It is the duly elected leaders of the time, and therefore I don't see any dispute or any question by anybody about on whom the responsibility rests. Our government of the day has shown maturity, pragmatism, and also, if I may say, initiative to do something which will send a message to our adversaries that do not mess around with us. The armed forces of this country have been a role model armed forces, and our soldiers are very loyal, disciplined, and our officers have never crossed the Rubicon in any kind of way which country shall only be except be proud of. So with this kind of a background, I think the defense minister made a very relevant statement that they are responsible. The credit goes to the armed forces because we are the instrument which will carry out the government's directions and deal militarily with the situation as we have been ordered to.
General Shankar, let me
mention here.
Yeah. So one moment, let me go across to General Shankar Prasad. General Prasad, do you agree with that perspective that credit for this needs to go to the government? Isn't a government, whichever government of the day it is, isn't it incumbent on that government to take a decision? Do they need to tom-tom their ability to take a decision? Shouldn't we instead focus on what the army's young soldiers have done? They are nameless at this stage. They will remain nameless at this stage. They were given an order. And this political debate taking place at the macro level doesn't concern them at the least. All that matters to them is the men under their command and the orders that they have to follow in the case of officers.
Vishnu, I cannot use a better word than disgusting is the way these political parties are behaving. I do not wish to single out one political party from the other. They do not understand that currently India is for the first time evolving a strategic culture, and that strategic culture needs to be permitted to into its finality, and we need to support it as the nation. The strategic culture, which I say, means that there is a well-defined policy which the government is trying to evolve. And the first part is that the Prime Minister initially said that I'm not going to have knee-jerk reaction, and the Defence Minister soon after that said there is going to be some knee-jerk reaction which could be in the form of tactical responses. The Prime Minister also mentioned certain very important things in Kerala, which is beginning to show a development of a strategic approach towards Pakistan to defeat terrorism. I don't want to give a big bhashan on that, but what is important is this, that the country is today fighting terrorism. It just started. It is not the end. There is so much happening around the line of control. You see everyday action taking place in Kashmir. You hear intelligence reports of so many hundreds of people wanting to cross the line of control and cause damage into our own country. So this battle is going on. If these political parties, for God's sake, and for the sake of the nation, and for the sake of the armed forces, just kept quiet and permitted the government of the day and the military to evolve the strategic response and unleash it on Pakistan to defeat terrorism, to attack terrorism. And should a time come, should a need comes, when this strategic thing needs to be focused towards Pakistan military or Pakistan ISI, so be it. The Indian government, I'm sure the military is also focusing towards that. Okay. Therefore, for God's sake, let us not politicize it to the manner in which it's doing. As far as the military is concerned, it doesn't matter what they're talking today. The soldier is very clear that he has a job to do. He shall do it. Please understand that the last surgical strike was controlled by an army commander, by two corps commanders, by many divisional commanders, brigade commanders and commanding officers. A large number of troops were involved in this. There were number involved going across the border. There are numbers involved in supporting that action. So it's a massive operation which the government has done, and the credit for it goes to the military, obviously. But the government of the day also takes whatever credit it wishes to take, but doesn't have to go tom-tomming about it.
Yeah, okay, so that's exactly, General Prashad, that's exactly, what I've been trying to say. General Singh, let me come back to you. You know, the Director General of Military Operations of the Indian Army came out on record twice on the first instance.
He was not the Director General of Military Operations. He was the DG Infantry. And
no, sir. Sir, the DGMO. I am talking, General Singh. I am talking about the DGMO who made the announcements on the strikes across the line of control. He made a statement. The army acted on the basis of a political order. At the end of the day, an action was carried out by the grace of God. No Indian soldiers lost their lives. Why does it matter whether footage needs to be released? Why does it need the Congress party to say that, look, we have done this many times in the past? Why does it need the defense minister to counter what the Congress claims it has done in the past? Where does it leave us as a nation when these things are being tom-tommed? Shouldn't national security be something that we don't shout and scream about on national TV?
Vishnu, can I comment
yes,
now?
Yes, sir, please.
Okay, firstly, hasn't our Prime Minister, Honorable Prime Minister, said to his party people, do not go around thumping your chest?
But then what are they doing today,
this
sir?
This is a great victory. No, I'm just stating what our national leadership is doing. They are being very responsible. Whole world is watching. And therefore, some of these irresponsible people who are talking should be told to close their traps and not talk irresponsibly.
So would you say that the defense minister, to use your own words, needs to close his trap?
Vishnu Som, please don't interrupt. I want to tell you that when the Kargil war took place, I am the guy who was a hands-on man directing operations as additional DGMO. I was there for the longest tenure ADGMO has been. I saw that war. I saw that from angles which were very close to the battlefield. Nobody else has got idea of that. Now, when that war concluded, we won a decisive political, military, and also diplomatic victory.
But you didn't go tom-tomming that, sir.
No, 1 minute.
No political party went tom-tomming that, sir.
Please listen, Vishnu. You're jumping the gun. I'm telling you that we were asked as ADGMO and we were asked as a DGMO, the chief, that why did you allow them to come in? So if somebody does a foolhardy act, Do you foresee a foolhardy act? They left their soldiers wounded and dead buried by us.
But General Singh,
they could not take them.
With all due respect, sir, you have to focus on what we are discussing today.
Yeah, I know, but I'm coming to that. That at that time, the question raised by the opposition was, how did they come in? And they don't say, we will celebrate a victory. Now, this is where politics comes. Our lives were lost.
Yes,
my soldiers' lives are lost.
Yes, exactly.
We won so many Mahavir Chakras. I am the man, every citation went through me. I was in the process and I reported to the DGM and the chief. So my point is very simple. We can't get a political slugfest involving the military forces.
Thank you, sir. It has taken you a lot of time to come around to the point that you are making, and I hope that is the point that you are making. That a political slugfest cannot be the statement that follows military action across our line of control. Sabha, let me come to you first.
a lot of the statements made today, because I find both of them fairly offensive. But let's look at the Congress for a moment. This is what Randeep Surjewala said. Mr. Parrikar is unabashedly lying and misleading the people of India. The defense minister is free to give credit to anyone, but should abstain from undermining the huge sacrifices made by armed forces in the last 68 years. He should immediately apologize for his statement insulting our armed forces, denying their supreme sacrifice during multiple surgical strikes and in defending the nation. This is my strike versus your strike. It is, who cares? Yeah. It's an army operation at the end of the day. It's our collective security.
So, Vishnu, what's happening is every day we have a new startup. Somebody will start off. But in this case, the greater responsibility does lie with the Defence Minister of India. And he has certainly said things in the manner in which they need not be stated. The Prime Minister has not done so at all. The Defence Minister has not conducted himself in the best manner possible ever since the surgical strikes took place. There was an earlier statement about Hanuman and all. I'm not going to get into repeating all that. We all know what I'm referring to. Today he talks about 29 years of pent-up rage. We have done it. I mean, come on. Now, surely he knows. I presume he does. He should know that if he makes a statement that we are the first ones to do it, there will be a reaction. Whether we like Mr. Surjewala's words or not, there is bound to be a political reaction. So in this case, unlike what the Prime Minister is doing, the Defence Minister is going around in...
So it's the usual tutu meme, right? That Mr. Parrikar should have made those remarks?
He has a greater responsibility. He's the Defence Minister.
But how is it any less responsibility... I mean, Ashok, let's look at what Mr. Parrikar said. He says, I will only share the credit at the most. The major share goes to the Prime Minister, but the issue I will at least claim the credit for is decision-making ability and planning. Isn't any government obliged to take a decision?
It is, but many governments have not taken decisions of various natures.
Correct. 100%. But then, do you need to tom-tom the fact that you have finally taken a decision?
Vishnu, the point is, without going into what Mr. Parrikar has said or whether his words were too strong or not too strong, that's a separate issue. The fact is, after any major military action in any country, in any democracy, there is a bit of competitive democratic politics. This operation went very well. It went perfectly. No Indian soldier suffered. There was a minor injury to one soldier, I understand. Nobody died. Thank God. Let's imagine if it had gone badly. Say if 3 or 4 soldiers had unfortunately been killed. There would have been a political price to pay, because the government and the political leader who in the end signs off and says, go ahead. Just like at Abbottabad, which was a much more difficult exercise, President Obama took a big risk by saying, go ahead. If it had gone badly, like it went badly in Tehran in 79 for Jimmy Carter, and lost him in the election, there is a political price to pay. So if it goes well, there is some political credit which can be taken without going overboard.
It went brilliantly.
Without going overboard.
So then why did these statements still need to be made?
I think what the Prime Minister has done is correct. He's been very measured in his words, and he said, let's not go overboard. Let's not provoke the Pakistanis and poke them in the eye, especially the Pakistani military. Let's give them an escape route as well, because we don't want to escalate it. And I think that was a very wise and mature reasoning on his part. I hope the rest of the political class adheres to that.
General Shankar Prasad, is part of the problem an entire band of retired generals, I'm not talking about you or General J.J. Singh at all, who go on news channels and who launch into this tirade against the opposition or the government of Pakistan or whoever it is that they choose, and lose sense of the fact that they actually commanded young soldiers on the ground at one stage, that they should be the last people to be making political points actually scored by the Indian Army, not ex-Faujis or any government of the day?
See, Vishnu, I do not know who talks what, but my view is very clear. There is a certain decision that is taken by the CCS, and the CCS decision is communicated to the one who is to implement it, and the implementing authority are the armed forces. They are then given a free hand to exercise their plan, and whether it succeeds or whether it fails is depending upon how well it is done. Fortunately, we seem to have done well, because we have a very well-trained army, a very highly motivated army. We have a set of senior officers who are currently in senior positions who have made a fantastic plan. And this plan needs to be given full credit for going across 250 kilometers frontage with seven different places to attack at the same time. So therefore, there is a military which works under the direction of the government of the day. The military is trained, equipped, and supposed to deliver. Only if it is capable of delivering will it accept the task. And once it does the task, then it says, yes, we have done it. We have done it well. We haven't suffered casualties. But as my previous speaker spoke, if there were casualties, then who was to take the blame? We would have said, oh, this divisional commander didn't do well, this corps commander didn't plan it well, this CO didn't execute it well. Well, some bit of it would have also gone to the political leadership, who would have got the wrath of the opposition politicians to say, why did you do such a difficult task when it was not possible to do? So at the moment, if you look at a macro picture of the country, we have decided to fight terrorism in a proper manner, even if it needs a strategic response. And let us get ready for a strategic response if tactical responses like this do not yield the results that we want to do. But let us leave politics out of it, for God's sake. Let us, whether it is the ruling party's spokesperson or whether it is the opposition party spokesperson, the language that they're using is disgusting. I mean, I don't know at what low level are we going.
And do you, General, believe that that language is going to get worse?
Issue?
Can I ask you that, General Prasad?
Well,
is that language going to get worse?
It seems so. It seems so. It seems it is going worse by the day.
General, let me put that to General J.J. Singh. Sir, UP elections around the corner. Do you expect the political discourse around these anti-terror attacks to get worse by our political leaders?
Are you addressing it to me?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, Vishnu, firstly, hasn't our military leadership shown the ability to advise the government from time to time to take our advice and implement the way they finally take
a decision?
No,
but sir, I am asking you if you believe, sir, that the political discourse will get worse from our political class ahead of the UP elections.
I don't think so, because they have other issues to tell the people what they have achieved or what they have not achieved.
So you don't believe this is an issue which is going to be raised?
Are very intelligent. I'm sure the elections will be based on who has performed or who is likely to perform, and the people will take any kind of incentive but vote according to their conscience, and they're quite good at doing that.
Ashok, let me put that question
to
you.
I've seen it. Because 1 minute.
So
one second,
sir. I want to get everybody's view on this. General Singh, I promise I'll come back to you. We've got a little bit of time. In UP yesterday, this is what the opposition was saying, that there are already posters which have been put over there talking about the Uri attack and the post-Uri attack as well. And that the political discourse is now going to be focused entirely on that. Is that a real concern now?
You know, there are two things here. I think we are getting a bit carried away. UP is a local election. It's an assembly election. I can't see why a voter in Unnao or in Gorakhpur is going to be overly concerned with the valor of Indian soldiers at the LOC or the situation in Jammu and Kashmir and decide a local MLA candidate on the basis of that. I think the surgical strikes will play a role in UP, but it's a limited role. Let's not get carried away. Second, do remember, even in 1999, just after the Kargil war, in a Lok Sabha election, the BJP actually loses seats in UP. It halves its seats between 98 and 99.
Yes.
Why? This is not because people don't like the Indian army or don't respect the Indian soldier or weren't happy with that victory in Kargil. It's because local issues, other issues also come into play when you are voting. So to suggest that UP will be entirely a referendum on the surgical strikes or on the new strategy to take on terrorism would be a bit unfair and exaggerated.
Sabha, one of the points which the Congress brought out today was this Operation Ginger. It's been reported on as well. This was taking place in 2011. The point that they were trying to make is that, look, you know, it's not just this government that has gone and done these cross LOC attacks. We did Operation Ginger in 2011 and it went out very successfully. At the time, the Congress did not believe it was in national interest to broadcast the fact that these strikes took place.
Absolutely.
Today, they are doing exactly that, primarily to counter what the BJP has done, or the government of the day has done. The government of the day has taken a decision to announce that these strikes took place. It has come at a particular time and a particular date. Doesn't it strike you as strange that the Congress, which at one stage decided that they are not going to announce it, today decides that no, we must announce what we did as well?
It's part of competitive politics. It looks really pathetic. I mean, there have been posters where Mulayam Singh Yadav, talking about Uttar Pradesh, has said that he also advised the government to do the surgical strikes. SP has put out posters. So the whole thing is a bit ridiculous at that level. But the point is, I have read pieces by strategic experts saying certain kind of strikes have taken place. But the difference is in the government stating it. That is the shift in policy. I'm not an expert to get into what exactly.
But there can't be
place.
One policy for each government. The government of the day in the past may have decided rightly I'm not going to talk about anything.
So this is a big shift when you decide but that now you're going to announce it.
Now that you're in the opposition,
we did it also.
You
have a point there, but Vishnu, very quickly about Uttar Pradesh, I don't think we can brush it aside. For all the belief that we have that people fight elections on economic, there's an agrarian crisis. Uttar Pradesh is going to be fought on identity issues. It's going to be fought on caste.
Okay, very quickly, because I have just exactly 2 minutes left.
I want to come in, Vishnu.
General, I'll come to you next. Ashok wants to make a point. I'll come to you next. It's a very quick point.
The reports on Operation Ginger. While it was a very good operation, and hats off to the soldiers who did it. But the fact is, you know the army, you know the military operations well enough. Operation Ginger was one thing, and what we saw at the LOC was another. The two are different operations. They're both very good operations, but they're different operations. I don't think Operation Ginger and this can really be compared.
So my operation is bigger.
They're both Indian Army operations, they're both different operations. Mm. Okay, this was preemptive, that was not quite preemptive.
What difference does it make?
No, fair enough. They're both, I'm not saying that.
The funniest word, Ashok, you may agree with me, is the surgical strike. Surgical strike sounds to me that surgeons are putting their scalpels down and walking away.
Just one more minute. Just one sec. The other thing is, when the Congress and important people who served in the Congress government say that public opinion was not taken into account, it was not a factor. I think that's
disingenuous.
That's a bit disingenuous because the public needs to be reassured in some form or the other that the government is standing up for it.
General Singh, go ahead, sir. Running out of time. Go ahead with your points, sir, briefly.
Yeah, I'll very quickly make one or two points. Firstly, is that in the elections, certainly to some extent, a good military operation would have some effect, no doubt about it. But I'm also saying that our soldiers want to be respected and recognized for the valor they have shown. And I'm very happy that the army included soldiers of the units which had been hit in Uri to hit back. I would have been very happy as ADGMO if Brigadier Surinder Singh in Kargil war had said, sir, give me more soldiers, I'm going to throw them out. I might die in the bargain. But he chose a different route of litigation.
General Prashad, last question to you. There are lots of young people, some of whom might want to join the Navy, Air Force, Army, and there are certainly a lot of young officers who are watching, young jawans who are watching. When they see our political leaders taking pot shots at each other after an action or an operation that they have conducted by putting their lives on the line, what are they thinking and what is your message to them as a former Director General of Infantry?
It is very easy and simple. Every soldier thinks that the political leadership and political leaders all across the globe, and particularly in our country, are just making capital at their cost. Every soldier today thinks that permit me to fight my war, you give me a task, I'll accomplish it. But don't make political mileage out of it. Don't start talking rubbish on television or on media. Whichever is the ruling party has done a job, good job, let us continue with the good job. I want to make another point, and I completely agree with Ashok, who said that in local politics of UP, this is not going to be the most important aspect. This will play some part because a large number of troops from UP come into the army, but it is not going to be a deciding factor. And you asked me a question previously, and I said, yes, this could go murkier. These politicians will go on casting aspersions every day, one worse than the other. Not realizing that at a point in time, it will have no effect. There will be local issues, which will be more important. As far as the military is concerned, as it is, they feel political people are something that what should I say? They're not particularly fond of, okay? That is the mildest way I can put it.
Okay.
They're not particularly fond of the political leadership and political people. and nor of the bureaucrats, let me also add that. But they get a task from their superiors, they will accomplish it. Our young officers today will get a task from their divisional commanders or from their co-commanders or from their commanding officers, they will accomplish it. Whoever is in government, it doesn't matter to them. But yes, they feel sad when they see these debates on television and all kinds of these remarks being passed.
I think that's the silver lining, and I'm going to end this debate over there. The silver lining is, despite the talk shop happening over here and elsewhere, where it's not talk, it's cream shop, the Indian Army actually will continue to operate. Our Navy, our Air Force, our Coast Guard, our police, our paramilitary forces, they will continue to operate. In the most difficult conditions, in the most difficult circumstances, all they need is an order. That's the silver lining. That's what keeps us safe today. I'd like to thank all of you very much for joining us.